Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time, San Diego.
Oh, what time is it? Time to kick it!
Time for Gwen and Chris to help you close out your day.
I guess I've been working so hard, I forgot what it's like to be hard at work.
Time for you to forget about who stole your lunch at work.
This is it! This is it! Right here, right now!
Time for you to lock in on sports. Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
We don't turn our TVs on to watch it all the time. And, you know, for us in our society, until it's in our face, it's really not happening.
And Chris Ello.
We have two more words to pass along to you. Tranquilo, hijo. That is, what was it?
Chill, son.
Chill, son.
Gwen and Chris are on the air on 97.3 The Fan.
6 o'clock. Welcome to the happy hour. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. I'm going to take us off baseball just for a second. And Chris, I hope you can help me with this.
All right.
And I probably should know. How exactly does the play-in work?
Ah. Because the Lakers are going to be in.
Like, if the Lakers, win their first game, they are in, right? Once the play-in starts.
I don't know that the Lakers play in the first. I honestly, I've read it a few times, but I don't know.
Okay.
I've honestly read it a few times, and I don't honestly know. It seems to me that it's something like the 8 team plays the 9 team and the
nine plays 10.
Right.
If those two have to win basically two games in order to try to advance.
Okay.
7 plays 8. The winner of 7-8 moves into the number 7 seed.
And you're in the playoffs.
You're in the playoffs.
So you only get one game.
If you win that first one out of the 7-8.
But if you lose, you're still alive?
You're still alive.
If you're the 7 seed.
If you're the 7 or 8 seed.
Okay.
So you can lose one. All right, I just figured to answer my own question.
All right, 10-9, winner moves to the play-in, loser is eliminated.
They're gone.
So the Lakers are not in danger of being a 10 or a 9.
No.
7-8, which right now in the West would be Lakers, Golden State.
Yeah, which I'm not very happy about.
I know, but the winner of that game goes into the postseason. The loser drops down to play the winner of the 9-10 game to get into the playoffs.
Got you.
That's it.
That's it.
It's simple. There's three games that consist. The play-in tournament in each conference consists of three games. Number 7 versus number 8, with number 7 going into the playoffs. Number 10 versus number 9, with the loser being eliminated. And then the third game is who's ever left
right
from those two
teams. Winner of 9-10.
Winner of the game 3 also goes into the playoffs.
As the 8 seed.
As the 8 seed.
Boom. All right.
So the Lakers are probably in a situation where they're going to play one game. If they win it, they'll be in the playoffs. If they lose it, they'll have another chance to win to get into the playoffs.
Lakers win their main game. They play Phoenix first round.
Phoenix is the 2?
They're the 2 seed.
Mm. They just whipped Phoenix last night.
They did. They? Made me feel pretty good.
Yeah.
Because that was without LeBron James.
I'm telling you, the Lakers are going to be still. I still wouldn't bet against him, Tony. Yeah. I would not bet against him.
Certainly would have bet against him, but I don't know.
Well, you're a Laker fan.
I don't know if I bet on them.
You're a Laker fan, so you're supposed to be worried. I'm giving you the straight scoop here.
I believe the playing game works. If LeBron wants to play, they'll play. But if they don't,
my goodness.
such a...
Not funny.
That was the weakest horn of all time.
Was that a cement truck horn right
yeah,
there?
Yeah, I tried to do it and then realized the pot was down.
All right, anyway, let's get to the phone calls out there. I think we got Rex on the line. Rex, welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Monday to you. What's on your mind?
Hey, Rex.
Hey, guys. I was listening to you talk about the pitching, and I had a question, and Mr. Scraby, when he answered the phone, was able to answer. He's the Britannica of baseball. But...
No, he's not.
Wait, can you say that a little bit cleaner for me? No, thank you for the compliment.
Mr. Scraby, the Britannica of basketball and baseball.
Okay, all right.
Answered it for me, and that was the other night when Paddock was pitching and only went three innings, but shutout innings. And they brought Weathers in; he went three shutout innings, but Weathers gets the win. Paddock got the pat on the back, and I was trying to figure that out.
Well, the short answer is a starter must go five innings in order to qualify for a win, and once he doesn't, pretty much the next guy in line, especially if he goes three, you know, is the guy who's in line to get the...
It's normally in a game like... It's up to the official rule, honestly, is that if the starter doesn't go five, then he cannot get the win.
Right.
But it's then up to the official score to decide who he thinks pitches best the rest of the game.
That
part of the rule is weird.
Only if the team stays ahead the whole game.
Right, obviously.
Which is what the case was yesterday.
Right.
And the guy who pitched the best after Paddock was Ryan Weathers, who pitched three shutout innings. That's why he got
definitely
the win.
Have no issue with Weathers getting it. That's the way it's supposed to go, but it is weird that it's...
It is weird.
That is
because
weird.
If the starter goes less... Like, if the starter goes 4 2/3,
right,
comes out of the game, and then four guys each pitch one inning.
Exactly.
And the team stays ahead the whole game. Then the scorer just looks at those four guys and picks who he thinks was the best.
Right. That seems weird to me.
That seems really weird to me. But that's how it goes.
Again,
so,
another one of these baseball rules that was created.
Created before there was anybody questioning whether or not there was any reason to something.
Would you guys... Right.
But you know what? You brought this up in the break, Tony. If they change the rule now and a starter could get the win by only going three innings, starters would be begging out of the game. I lead 6-0. My arm's a little tight. I got forearm tightness, Jace. Forearm tightness,
I'm
baby.
Just saying, if wins become something that you can obtain...
Are easier to get.
And you can get paid for, rest assured.
That's right.
And really... As a part of that, your career probably is longer. You're throwing, you know, less innings per year. Of course.
Yeah.
You guys would take advantage. So, some of these rules are weird, but don't need to be changed. All right. Who else is on the phone?
Let's go to our guy, Gary. He's been holding a while.
Gary.
Hey, Gary.
You've been holding a long time, man. Thank you for your patience. What's on your mind?
Hey, no problem. I was in the Navy 20 years. Patience is my middle name, guys. How you doing?
Now, we're doing well.
We're good, and thanks for your service.
No, thank you. Yeah. Chris? The articles that Tony, the articles you mentioned, a couple of them were spot on as far as what has been changed to me. As I was telling Matt prior to in screening, was over the years I've seen a lot, and I've seen little bit by little bit by little bit, just like a drop, ruining or changing the game to where it's almost unrecognizable to what I saw. But some of the things that I've seen in the past, number one, I think we have a couple of guys on our team. They're not, they may not be able to do this, but I think they got speed going for them. Mateo comes to mind. If he could bunt like a guy by the name of, who was that Dodger?
Brett Butler?
The Dodger, yeah, and Brett Giant Butler. And Indian.
Brett Butler.
All of it. He must have had 300 to 500 base hits, and you'd never know when he was going to do it. That creates excitement. And another thing, they were talking about your dad there, Chris, about changing his swing. Maybe, maybe not. I agree. The one thing though that when he talked to
Ted Williams.
Yeah, Ted, yeah. He said, hey, you might want to change your swing a little bit, maybe get the ball in the air, hit some home runs. And that did help him get, I believe, to a career high the next year or the year after. But really, overall, it didn't change too much. But it did get some of the totals.
All it did was show how good of a hitter Tony's dad was. That if he tried to hit some more home runs, he could. That's all.
Exactly right. And my other point too was look no farther than a guy by the name of Ken Griffey Jr. When they asked him, "Hey, how is it that you try to hit home runs?" He said, "I didn't try to hit home runs.
Yeah.
I tried to hit the ball hard, safely somewhere, and a lot of them landed over the fence, about 630, if I'm not mistaken."
Good point, Gary.
And see, it's things like that little bit by little bit by little bit. You don't think that they make much difference right away, but all of a sudden you think, "Wait a minute. What happened to the game that used to be so exciting when Harmon Killebrew was up, when Rod Carew, Mr. Hit, was up, when Tony Perez, Mr. RBI, was up? The Big Red Machine, the Twins of the middle in 1980s, Kirby Puckett, those guys could hit. Kirby Puckett could hit a home run. But who did he hit it off of in that game? I believe it was Game 6 of the 87 World Series.
Charlie Liebrandt was who he hit it off of, actually.
Charlie Liebrandt. How long did he go? Do you think he was ready to go out of it? 1-0.
Yeah.
Exactly what you
said, guys. Gary, good phone call. There's a lot to unpack there.
Yes, there is.
I think, first and foremost, I used to be heavily... I used to be really hard on the hitters when this subject started popping up about 4 years ago. I've come around to the fact that you got to give the pitchers some credit here. They have adjusted. They were getting their butts whooped for a little bit there from right around that time. You read the piece of that article earlier, Chris, where you said 2001 to 2015.
Yeah.
Pitchers made an adjustment somewhere, I'd say 2012, 13. Where they started, all right, you guys got this kind of bat thing going here. We're going to start pitching at the top of the zone. And since then,
yeah,
there's been no adjustment made on the other side, right?
Right.
And so you bring up the point about Ted Williams. And my dad was always fearful that, I think before that conversation with Ted, that if he tried that, he would lose, you know, some of the points on his average. But I think what he found was there's a way that you can do it. Now, granted, it is harder to do it now with the velocities that you are seeing. I don't think there's any question about it. But the approach has changed, and it starts with analytics. The analytics are the things that tells the players, hey, this is how you have the most – this is how we'll win games. This is how you can do things to impact the games that we're winning.
And this is how you can make the most money.
The last part, which Chris just mentioned, this is how – and you know, so that information is given to the players. Now the agents will look at that same information. All right, well, this is how you can maximize your value in the league. That how they're going to play it, and that's not a dumb choice by players. That is a smart choice by players, ultimately.
Yeah.
In terms of their own finances, it's a brilliant choice. However,
if they started paying guys $20 million to hit 350, guys would start hitting 350.
They would 100% adjust.
Yes,
they would. It would be harder. I'm not saying that pitchers today throw harder, and that complicates hitting in itself alone, right? They have analytics now that have shown, you know, this pitcher A, you're having more success when you just throw your slider a little more often. So as opposed to it being 60% fastball, 20% off speed or curveball, and you know, give you 20% of something else, a combination of. Now you're throwing that slider a little about, you know, 30% of the time. You're throwing your fastball just under that 30% of the time, and so it's a different ball game, and it's a tougher offensive ball game because of that.
Who are DJ LeMahieu and Juan Soto?
They are
baseball players.
Baseball players. They're also the guys who won last year's batting titles.
I was about to say those are what you would consider in today's game contact guys.
Yeah, right.
But they all got juice though.
They do. Oh my goodness.
They all have
juice.
And so I get it. There aren't a whole bunch of DJ LeMahieu's walking around, and definitely aren't a lot of Juan Soto's walking around. But there is some evidence there that it can be done. You don't have to just be one or the other, right?
Yeah, LeMahieu hit 364 last year, right?
Yeah.
And he had, I'm trying to look him up.
And I'll give you a good example.
Stalling.
We'll give you a good example real quick. I mentioned Eric Hosmer today and his launch angle being third highest amongst how it's his launch angle has actually gone decreased from last year to this year.
Yeah.
He's getting more hits.
And more homers.
And more homers and more RBIs.
Yeah.
But he's hitting more ground balls. So what does that say? So it's certainly remember 2 years ago the idea was, oh, he's hitting too many grounders. That's why he's struggling. He's hitting more grounders this year. And he's not possibly, he's the Padres' most productive player right now.
He certainly is.
And so, you know, the narrative on that doesn't quite fit anymore. He's hitting hard. I've seen so many hard ground balls blasted through the middle of the field to left field that bring in RBIs. And it's equally as pleasurable to the fans as the run comes across the home plate as opposed to him going deep.
Especially if we're going to do it early in the count. I don't have to wait around forever for him to do it.
It can be done.
We got one more before we go to break. Bill.
Bill.
San Marcos.
Come on, Bill.
What's up, Bill?
Hey guys. How you doing? A couple of things. This is about speeding up the game, and nobody ever talks about it. Instant or the replay. I guarantee you, if you took an average of each game every year, it adds at least 15 minutes onto every game. And, you know, I know that, you know, it's got to be perfect, but umpires aren't perfect, players aren't perfect, coaches are. Nobody's perfect. I don't know why this whole officiating thing has to be perfect. If they get rid of replay and get rid of that stupid little box around home plate for the TV games, these guys are afraid to call strikes now, I guarantee you. They're afraid to call strikes if it's not in that little box. And guys, I umpire high school baseball, guys, and you can't believe what a difference it is. I mean, it's hard to call a good, healthy, consistent strike zone. But if they know they've got to swing at stuff that's close, the game just goes so much faster, and it's fair. But, I mean, I've seen them take 10 minutes to figure out if Tatis came off the bag and it's sliding into second on a steal. It's ridiculous. And I think 15 minutes is a low estimate of how much it adds on to these games. The calls even out. It's baseball. It's been around for over 100 years. Let them play. It doesn't have to be perfect all the time.
Listen,
feel me, Tony?
I've said that a lot. Like I perfectly thank you for the phone call, Bill. I like the human element of the game. However, there are a lot of people that don't. And
they're not going to be happy though when the robots replace them. Something they're going to find something to be.
Of course,
about.
That's how it usually works. Here's the thing: we certainly don't want to go back to the early '90s, right? When there was the strike zone was just. I can't think of a good word for what I want
to
say right there. It was horrible.
It was as large as Eric Gregg.
It was big, right? And
remember
so,
who Eric Gregg was, Scrappy?
I take you back. Was Eric on that?
He was the healthy-sized umpire who was calling pitches in the left-handed batter's box for Levon Hernandez in the playoff of 1993 against Atlanta Braves. I know you wouldn't remember it,
and
but
to be fair,
it was incredible.
He wasn't the only one.
No, he wasn't.
It was a bunch of umpires calling and strike zone that was outrageous.
What happened to him after that?
Well, nothing happened to him after that. Eventually, I believe he was
sent down.
I think he was sent down.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And had to work his way back
in
up.
99.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, listen, there. At this point, you can't put it back in the box, right? You've already got the box.
You've already
shown.
Got the box. The box
that
isn't
is,
going away.
I think people would lose their mind if that box disappeared. The stations would get phone calls and emails all day long.
In 2 seconds.
Where is the box?
Where's the box? I need to know what a strike is right away.
You know what's funny is that...
And I need to complain to the umpire if he calls one outside the box.
You know
ball.
The only time we knew what was a strike or not? It was a judgment of high or low on mm-hmm. our own. That we never got any help on that. The only time we got a decent help was when they showed that over... the home plate view. And you got to see the ball if it crossed on plate. But you still had to know on your own if it was a you know, if it was high enough or low enough for it to be in the strikes. But now we got that box, and it's made it. In some ways, it's made the game easier for people to follow, but in some ways, it's infuriated people. In terms of the instant replay, 15 minutes is probably a high estimate.
That's a high estimate, number one. Number two, go to the end of the Pirate-Padre game last week when Hosmer's foot was on the bag. I mean, if they don't call that an out.
And that would have been safe.
That's pretty sad.
That's right.
So you got to get calls right that are that obvious. But I think the one that Bill's bringing up is, you know, the steal a second base right. where a guy's
It was never intended for
bump.
That. It was never intended for that.
Yeah. That would be good if they could somehow not allow that to be challenged. But I don't know what you can do.
Right, because it's a guy sliding head first and, like, never like really coming off the bag. It's just in the process of sliding through. It comes
His
off
foot
and somehow
comes off
like
for
that's,
half a second.
That's not what it's intended for. Now, no. If a guy overslides a bag and like is hanging on by his toenail to try to stay, okay, that's different.
Yeah,
but it's been you see those calls overturned all the time, and that's not what it was intended for.
Right. Yeah.
All right. That's all I got.
All right, we fixed the game. Baseball's back and ready to go. We'll have a game tomorrow at 5:40.
Are you guys ready to fix the Padres?
Padres pen pals?
Yeah, you knew where I was going with that, Chris.
All right, we'll get it done when we return, Gwen and Chris. One, two, three. 6:27 is the time. Nobody knows who to bring us back, so we're all bringing it
I
back.
Think it's you, because you led the show off.
So. All right. Russell Westbrook, congratulations. Just broke Oscar Robertson's record for most triple-doubles in a season or a career?
Career.
Or in a game.
It recorded his 182nd career triple-double, breaking the great Oscar Robinson's record.
Yeah, and he's going to have a triple-double for the season again this year.
That's amazing, man.
Westbrook just getting it done for the district, as it were. All right, Scraby, we got to hurry up and get to some Padre Pen Pals so we can get to our interview of the day.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute.
So funny.
Padres Pen Pals begins.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now on 97.3 The Fan.
Padres Pen Pals is the segment where you ask me questions and I ask Tony and Chris questions. So we're just going to get right into it because, as Chris said, we have limited time. I'm just going to do some mentions here. There's no reaction to it. Ron McKernan. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name wrong.
Well, you certainly mispronounced it wrong.
Ron McKernan wrong. Anyway, Chris LSD at Matt Scraby. Will 2021 be looked at years from now the same way 1968 is viewed today? Also, would you prefer this or the ridiculousness that was 2019 and all the home runs? I think I'd rather see guys like Rodon and Means hurl no-nos than fringe players hit 30-plus home runs. That was from Ron. No Padres pen pals. I'm just trying to incorporate the tweets into the show.
Gotcha.
All right, and then Josh Taylor tweeted me and said, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris LOSD, Sean Burroughs comes up hitting 300, and they wanted more power. Hashtag baseball broke him.
Could be.
I looked it up. He was the ninth overall selection in the 1998 draft for the Padres.
Yes, he was.
Okay. Thanks for that.
Okay, you said we didn't have to respond, so
you're
I'm
right,
responding.
You're right. Chris, you're up first on this one. This is from our guy, Michael. I told you he called in during Chris vs. the Fans. At SD Lifer Fan. With the bullpen being used like it's a stretch run down September instead of April and May, what are the long-term options for fourth and fifth starters in the rotation to get us to a legitimate stretch run in September, either in the system or available trade targets, Chris?
I'm going to steal what Tony said. I think that the Padres consider going with a six-man rotation for a while. If they can get Lamed up to speed, use Weathers as a starter, hopefully Paddock can get it done. And hopefully that way you can spread things out a little bit. I'm not convinced 100% anymore that their bullpen can't hold up. And the reason I say that, Tony, is because of what we talked about before. Back in the day when you had a 10-man pitching staff, there's no bullpen in the world that could hold up under the weight of all of these innings. But the Padres have about a 19-man pitching staff when you can when you add in the guys they bring up from the minor leagues, yeah. Chris Matt, et cetera, they send them down, they bring them up, they send them down, they bring them up. So with a 19-20-man staff like the Padres are using, maybe they can hold up.
What do you think, Tony?
It's a good observation, man. Everything in I know about baseball is screaming that it can't last.
Yeah.
But Chris is right. Like, when you think about all of the options they've brought up to this point, and the bullpen has been, and what it's done, it's not necessarily that those guys who've come up are pitching in roles that are, you know, weighted heavily, but they have come in and give quality innings.
Yeah.
And when you can come in and give quality innings, and that means you don't have to use a Stammen, a Pagan, a Pomeranz, any of those arms, it allows for you to get continue into the season.
How many times can they send down Nabil Chrismat? What
they
is
can
the
send
limit?
Him down 100,000 times.
Really?
If as long it only counts as one option while the whole season.
Oh my goodness, this poor guy.
He keeps coming in, bailing out the team, and then they send him back.
They
to
bail
El Paso.
Him out. Miguel Diaz is the same way. Miguel, listen, three innings. Thank
but he's
you.
Been
no
staying
runs.
On the
see
roster
you later.
This time around.
Listen, the thing is, A. We were. You're told that when you walk in your first day of camp. Listen, it's going to take more than the 26 guys in the locker room.
Well, that's we understand.
That's yeah. held up to be true, right? The other thing is, those guys ain't complaining, right? Like, they, not only are they coming in to the big leagues, they're doing well. And regardless of whether you sit down, those numbers are on the back of your bubblegum card.
Yeah.
So
sets them up.
It sets them up. And so, listen, I think.
But I think sometimes Chrismet comes up, he doesn't even have time to get a free meal.
Guarantee he doesn't.
I know. Let the guy eat.
He has a chance to
at least he should be able
he's
to eat.
He's the Horace Grant of the Padres.
Hey, do you guys remember Jesse brought this up? Quackenbush?
Oh yeah.
You remember that year he was like literally up like
down.
every other day he was going up and down?
I really didn't know there was I didn't know there was no limit. I thought there was a limit.
No limit. Now
my goodness.
There's different little things in there, but basically they can send you up and down all year long, and it only counts as one. That's why those three arbitration years are you get three options, basically. And once those options are up, they have to put you on waivers, which means another team can claim you. That's why those are important. That's why you hang on to a Bryant, Chris Bryant, that extra month, and so his clock doesn't start just
yet. Yeah. But you could score major points like the Padres did with Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah, you can. And he rewarded you.
He did. All right. Last one real quick. I know this one is deep.
Let me just add one last thing to that. Sorry, Scraby. I just added this up. The Padres have used, not counting Jake Cronenworth, 21 pitchers already this season. So they got a 21-man staff. These are all guys that they are using. Aaron Northcraft, you know, we mentioned Chrismat,
Diaz,
Nick Ramirez jumped in there for seven innings.
And those, by the way, those aren't even like their hard-throwing arms that we saw in AAA that they want to get going. That's not even including Mackenzie Gore yet at this point.
No. 21 pitchers already, and we're in the 10th day of May.
So I don't know if it lasts, but the more and more I see the way it's used, the more and more there's a piece of me that believes that maybe it can.
Yeah,
piece.
Maybe.
A piece.
Yeah. I'm with you, man.
Real quick, this is a deeper conversation, but if Tony can make it short, we can do that. At Lance Rand says, based on Tom Krasovic's UT article yesterday about putting Tony Gwynn Sr. in today's game, how does Tony Gwynn Jr. think his dad would do against 2021 pitching and against the shift?
Against the shift, and that's laughable, but go ahead, Tony.
The 5.5 hole is where you hit it, right?
Right. It depends on where they...
They have to put three guys there.
It doesn't. I don't think they would shift.
No, they wouldn't.
You know.
They'd be crazy.
I think there would be some teams that would definitely shift. They would go analytic no matter
against
what.
Against your dad?
Yeah, they would. There'd be some teams that would. But I think my dad would still... I think if he played in today's game, he may feel like it may be okay to give up a couple points. And I mean, this is a lifetime 338 hitter.
Yeah.
If he sacrificed 8 points on his average to be a 330 hitter and still...
And hit another 100 home runs?
I think he might do it.
Might
but
do
I,
it.
I don't think he'd have any issue with the pitching.
He wouldn't have any problem with the velocity. They brought it up in the article that he hit three-something against Nolan Ryan.
Velocity was never an issue for him.
And I want to point one thing out in the article. Tom Krasovic, great article, and you should read it, Tony. You'll really like it. But there's a quick note in there that he struggled against Randy Johnson and that he was 0 for 12 against him. That, my friend, does not include a line drive double down the line to help win a ball game in the postseason.
And you also have to remember,
against Randy Johnson,
by the time my dad,
an impossible pitch to hit, by the way.
By the time my dad started facing Randy on a, because my dad played in that era where it was American and National League. You didn't see guys. He caught the end of interleague
play. Interleague play.
The beginning of it, I should say.
Right.
But he didn't get an opportunity to face 12 at bats.
That's it.
I remember him saying towards the end of that 12 that he was starting to get comfortable with them.
Yeah,
it was a little bit of a issue for him to get used to a guy 7 foot.
Guy throwing from behind the back of his head.
Throwing from behind the rear. My dad wasn't like a straight up stander. Like, he was already crouched, so he's crouched over. That's further that ball is harder to see, and he basically had to wait till it came out of his blind spot.
Coming by way of first
to
base.
Hit, and so. He did say, I remember it very, very distinctly. He was like, I'm starting to get him a little bit, but he was like a year or two away from retiring at that point.
All right. Thanks, guys, for the Padres pen pals. Thank you to Lance Wren. Thank you to Ron McKinnernan. Thank you to, I don't want to forget this person's name. Oh, yeah, of course, SD Lifer fan.
Take a break, Scraby. We got to get to our interview of the day next.
6:41 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello.
Good job today, guys.
Yeah. Coming down the stretch here on a four-hour show day that was an impromptu 4 hours. Of course, the Padres game was canceled today. Ooh, here's some breaking news. No, I don't want to say breaking. You know, I'm a little hesitant to use it after
Joe Mauer retire again.
Might be coming out of retirement. Remember the
Titans?
The owner that put
a pain he is.
Do you remember the owner that stuck his foot in his mouth for the Mariners?
Oh, yes.
You remember the kid that he was talking about, Kaleric? He's coming up.
Oh,
he got the call-up, finally. So
got the call-up.
He is on his way to the big leagues, and that clock was put on hold, and now it will start once he reaches that locker room. So just thought I'd point that out. We do need to get to our taped interview today. Our interview, which wouldn't be the tape. We did it earlier today, and now you guys
pre-recorded.
You get to hear it again here in a second. Before we do that, however, let's check a little traffic.
Joining us now on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline is indeed Drew Goodman, AT&T Sportsnet Rocky Mountains. I want to remind everybody out there, Drew Goodman has a podcast that you should check out. Search the Drew Goodman podcast. This week he's having on Mark Sweeney, and right now we're having on Drew Goodman. Drew, thanks so much for joining us. Typical weather day in Denver. We were just kind of kidding around here that it must be bad if they can postpone the game like 8 hours before it's scheduled to start.
You know, it's interesting. Couple things. First of all, hello. Thanks for
having
me.
Hello.
yeah. You know what? Actually, one of the great misnomers, I know you guys live in the finest city in the country, but one of the great misnomers about Denver and Colorado as a whole is that we have bad weather. What happens is invariably it'll snow a few inches this time of year, and people go, oh, my God, I would never live there. All it does is snow 10 months a year. We have more sunny days than Maui, and I rarely look at the weather. The month, there's about a six-week period from April 1st to mid-May where it can get a little sketchy here and there. And so this is actually the third time we've had a game banged fairly early in the day. But, yeah, so there you go. There's my weather update for you.
Excellent. Well done. I enjoyed that. Thank you.
Drew, I know it's been a struggle for the Rockies in this early going of the season, but I'm sure there's been some bright spots. You guys have brought up a bunch of young kids to come up and see where they test at. What's been some of the bright spots for the Rockies this year?
Well, I think there's a couple of young kids out of the bullpen. Jordan Sheffield has pitched well. Robert Stevenson has pitched well, who we got from Cincinnati, former number one pick. It was pretty good 2 years ago with the Reds, struggled last year. That's been a positive. I'm trying to think. Behind the plate, Dom Nunez, the batting average isn't great, but he's hit 5 home runs. He's driven in, I think, 16, 17 runs. So that's been good to see. He's got rookie status. You know, Charlie is a veteran guy. He's starting to hit. Trevor's been pretty steady. Story, he hasn't gone off yet. Rymel Tapia is backing up what he did last year. He just throws out hits every night, and he has great, bat to ball skills. Really tough, tough to strike out. But you know, overall, obviously, it's a bottom line business, and the Rockies, particularly out on the road, have really struggled. I mean, they're 2-14 out on the road.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to bring up to the Padre fans who are expecting the Padres to just go in there and mop up on the Rockies this week. It's not necessarily the case at Coors Field. I think 10-8 at home, and they played pretty well at home. And this has been an ongoing issue for the Rockies franchise, really. I mean, it's more pronounced so far this year than ever before. But having watched it all of these years, I mean, what is it about going on the road that seems to trouble the Rockies when they can hit so well at home?
Yeah, it's very simple. That the ball, two things. The ball movement is going to be a little more dramatic. Two seamers are going to move a little bit more dramatically at sea level. Breaking balls a little bit sharper, more consistently. And then what it does to the body, constantly going from altitude to sea level and back. I mean, so there's closing in on 30 years of empirical data that, you know, the batting average and the production, especially initially when you go on the road, is going to dip significantly. And the national narrative has always been, you know, look, Nolan was even dealing with this, you know, prior to the trade. Well, you know, how good a hitter is he? Because at Coors Field, yeah, he hit 350 and right. Hits a lot of homers, et cetera. But look what his road splits are. But there's so many guys that have left. In fact, Nolan, we just left St. Louis. Nolan's hitting higher out on the road. Matt Holliday left. He was a great player in St. Louis, just like he was a great player in Colorado. It levels out. So this notion that, oh, this is a Coors Field creation is bunk. Charlie Blackman would be a tremendous offensive player, whether he called his home Colorado or San Diego or St. Louis. Trevor Story, the same deal. But it's a challenge for these guys physically and also from a baseball standpoint when they go out on the road.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I can attest to the body issues that you have, and I only was going in there as a visitor, so I could only imagine what some of the Rockies player. Drew Gridman joins us here via the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline, AT&T Sportsnet, Rocky Mountains. Drew, you mentioned Tapia. He's got a 9-game hitting streak rolling. You mentioned the year he had last year a little bit. What has changed about him? Because, you know, is it just the experience that he's gained that has got him to this point?
I mean, Tony, you know this from going through it yourself, that I think once you start collecting 800, 1,000, 1,200 plus big league at-bats, and he's not even there yet, you start to figure it out a little bit or have a better idea of who you are at this level. Now, it's a strong, competitive, hard-working kid that's got some pop. Now, if you watch his BP, he's got some juice, but he really has unusual hand-eye coordination. He's got one of the lowest swing and miss percentages in baseball. He's one of those guys that can foul pitches off that you say, how did he get to that? And he'll literally go line to line, and you have to play him straight up in the infield, and you have to play him straight up in the outfield, which is such an unusual alignment in this day and age. But he shows up every day. He never gives away at bats, regardless of what the score is. He's been impressive to watch, and I think he enjoys hitting at the top of the lineup as well.
Drew, how's his Trevor Story holding up? I know it's so much more difficult as broadcasters. You don't get a chance to spend time with the guys and see how Trevor's doing. And I'm sure you have a great relationship with him. But to be able to kind of gauge where he's at mentally, I mean, his name pops up in the trade thing about five times a week. So I imagine it's got to be weighing on his mind a little bit as he tries to go about and do his job every day.
You're only human. You're going to say the right things. Yeah. You know, publicly, and it's certainly different now because people can't really get at you every day. I mean, maybe he meets with the media on a Zoom call once a week, maybe once every 10 days. So it's completely different than the daily barrage, especially, you know, like the Padres obviously supposed to open tonight, and the Padre media would gravitate over and visit with Trevor. And so at the beginning of every series, he'd be doing it, even if he wasn't doing it on a daily basis with the local Colorado beat folks. But if you're only human, man, you have to be aware of it. You have to have it somewhere in your mind. I mean, he's a pro's pro. He truly is. I'm not saying this because I know him well. He's a great kid. He really is. And he's had a good solid year. I mean, he hasn't gone off yet, but you know, his numbers are solid. He's getting his hits. He's hit four homers, which he could go hit six in a week. And next thing you know, he's tied for the league lead. I mean, that's how impressive an offensive player he is. He's a pro in how he goes about his business on the field and off the field. But yeah, I'm sure there's no way not to be thinking about it. You know, how frequently that is, certainly I can't answer that, but it's got to be somewhere, you know, near the forefront of his mind, or at least in his mind, that, you know, that he's going to be a free agent. Will he get traded prior to the deadline? All of those things.
Padres, Rockies begin their series now tomorrow. After today's game was postponed, Drew Goodman, AT&T Sportsnet, Rocky Mountains, joins us here on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline. And Drew, last one for me. We've noticed there's been a change at the top in terms of the GM stepping down. Has there been a clear-cut direction that the Rockies want to go in at this point? Have they made that a public matter?
You know, not yet. Billy Schmidt is the guy you alluded to. You know, Billy's been the vice president of scouting for a number of years. He's extremely well respected in the industry. And the Rockies have done a really good job. Nobody bats anywhere close to 1,000. You guys know that when it comes to a draft, even in the first round. But, you know, Billy has done a really good job, and he was asked to be the interim, you know, general manager. I know he's on record as saying, you know, he wants to be in the mix for the job. You know, the Rockies have been an organization that typically, or at least more recently, has promoted from within. The last time, they've only had three general managers, and before Jeff Breidich, Dan O'Dowd did come from outside the organization. Dan came from Cleveland, where he worked with Mark Shapiro and was very well thought of. It seems like they're leaning in that direction, but they've said that they're not going to conduct their search, at least seemingly till the end of the year, which, you know, means that, you know, if they make any trades with their significant free agents, Trevor being the number one guy, certainly, that Billy Schmidt and others will have influence as to how they go about that. You know, right now your guess is as good as mine, whether Billy becomes, you know, a prime candidate, or they do, you know, look outside the organization. I think that in this day and age, you need to do that just to collect other ideas with organizations that are successful from an information standpoint. I think you have to do your due diligence on that, and we'll see how it shakes down.
All right, that was Drew Goodman, AT&T Sportsnet Rocky Mountains, on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. Hey, call in right now, 833-288-0973. We got to give away those tickets to see Dierks Bentley in concert. He's at the Open Air Amphitheater. And that is coming up on, Chris, find the page very quickly, August 26th, North Island Credit Union Amphitheater. Dierks Bentley, two tickets to give away. Who won last week's Daily Gambit, me or Scraby? First person with the correct answer, 833-288-0973, wins the tickets. Tony Gwynn Jr., well done, sir.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow at 3 o'clock on 97.3 The Fan.
Peace out.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.